Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to take a look at your words. Your words are important. They're important because they describe what you think, and what you think is what you believe. And what you believe makes up who you really are. We're all human beings who were put here in a physical environment, and we were put here specifically for God's purpose. You see, it is all about God. It's not about us. I think Christians have been taught for a long time that in this world it's about us, but it's not. It's about God and everything God has created. Everything that exists, exists in order that God might be glorified. God has always existed. There is no beginning of time for God. Everything else that we are aware of, the universe, including all its suns, moons, and stars, exist because God created them. God is God because He wasn't created. He always was and ever will be. This is why we can refer to Him as the Eternal Father. Therefore, God isn't even in the same category as everything else. He is different. He exists, period. Everything else is a creation of God, but God, in three persons, is one God, and He always existed, and He will always exist forever and ever and ever. Now, we will exist forever, for eternity, but we will only exist and live in God's presence if we accept God as being true. You see, God exists because His Word exists. His Word is who He is. His Word describes Him, and it tells us what He believes and what He knows and what He likes and what He doesn't like. God isn't made up of flesh and blood, but He is spirit. Now, in order to know God, you must know Him by His Word, because it is God's Word that explains His makeup, meaning who He is and who He isn't. But then, it's the same thing for us. We are also known by our words. It is our words which explain to others what we believe. It is our words which tell others what our convictions are. We all think about things, and we all have opinions about things, and we all are moved by the things in our minds. But it is words which describe our thoughts, beliefs, and convictions. It is words which communicate the intricacies of our minds. And a man, any man, is known by his words when his words are communicated to others. However, words are not the only thing that reveal our innermost thoughts. We communicate to others who and what we really are in more ways than just speaking. If it was only by our speaking that our words became known, then it would be difficult for others to understand what our innermost thoughts, beliefs, and convictions are. Although words are the main communication process used to reveal ourselves to others, we also use other forms of communication in order to give greater understanding of who and what we really are. Words, of themselves, fall short of being able to give complete understanding. For example, I'm sure that in your lifetime you have heard someone speak something that was not really true. And of course, this happens more than just once or twice, but actually happens all the time. When people speak, they don't always say what they're thinking and don't always present their true thoughts, beliefs, and convictions. Also, sometimes people say things that are not easily understood. Sometimes we say things and the other people don't comprehend what we're really trying to say because the words are inadequate to express ourselves fully. This is because in order to express ourselves fully and completely so that others will really know what we're really saying, we have to communicate not only by speaking it, but also by demonstrating it. That's what our bodies are for. When we want others to know what is on our mind, we communicate it to them by speaking and by demonstrating. In this way, other people can understand us more completely. We humans have physical bodies that other people can see. They can't see into our minds, but they can see our physical body. Although we might use words to describe our feelings, words are not always enough, especially if our thoughts are intricate rather than simple. This is one reason why we emphasize our words with body language. When we are speaking to other people, we might wave our hands in the air and we might pound our fist on the table, nod or shake our heads, or smile or frown. In this way, we emphasize our words and help others to comprehend what we're really trying to say. Now, it's the same way with God. God is a spirit, so what God is thinking is not easily understood by human beings. God thinks a lot of things, but because God is a spirit, it is difficult for human beings to fully understand His words because we can't see Him. Even when God speaks through His prophets, and the prophets either speak or write those words so that other people can hear and read God's word, still it is difficult to understand God fully just by His spoken or written word. That's why God came to earth in the form of a man. He came to earth in the form of Jesus Christ in order to manifest, outwardly show, His word to the people of earth. God has more thoughts, beliefs, and convictions than any other person who exists. God's mind is more intricate and holds more knowledge than we can even imagine. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." You see, God's understanding is so profound that we humans could never understand Him to any great depth without His word being demonstrated to us outwardly. Therefore, God further revealed Himself by appearing to mankind in bodily form. It was Jesus Christ, God the Son, who was born of a woman in order that God might be manifested in the earth. He was manifested as Jesus Christ in order that humans could more completely understand God's fullness. When Jesus Christ walked this earth, He not only spoke the Word of God, but He also demonstrated it. He not only talked the talk, but He also walked the walk. Now, in 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." We see from this scripture especially that it is the Spirit of God which looks into the deep inner recesses of God's mind and reveals these things unto men. It is the Holy Spirit of God that reveals the thoughts and convictions of God to us. Without God's Holy Spirit, we could not fully comprehend the Word of God. This is why John 16:13 calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth, and that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. God is truth. Therefore, it is the Holy Spirit who will reveal God to us. Now, God is a spirit and not flesh. But human beings are flesh and blood, and in this sense, we cannot understand the deep hidden things of God. Therefore, we must not only have God's spoken and written word, but we must also have Jesus Christ to demonstrate this word of God. Yet, in addition to our ears hearing the spoken word of God and our eyes seeing the physical demonstration of his word through Jesus Christ, we also need the Holy Spirit of God to help us understand what our ears are hearing and what our eyes are seeing. So in essence, what we have is that God initially spoke his word to the people of earth. Then, in order that we humans might understand the word of God more fully, Jesus Christ came to earth and demonstrated that word of God to us. However, in order for Jesus to demonstrate God's word, and not just demonstrate his own words, it was necessary that the Holy Spirit should move Jesus to reveal God's true feelings through both words and actions. In this way, God reveals himself to mankind. To put it simply, it works this way. God speaks his word. The Holy Spirit seeks the deep things of God in order to understand the mind of God concerning those words, and then reveals the true mind of God to Christ, who in turn demonstrates the actual meaning of God's words so that humans can fully comprehend who and what God's thoughts, beliefs, and convictions are. Jesus speaks God's words. Then, by his daily life, he paints a graphical picture of God. And through the actual works that he does in the power of the Holy Spirit, he proves that God's word is true. This threefold process of communication is absolutely necessary in order for mankind to believe God. Unless we understand what God truly likes and dislikes, how could we possibly obey him? It is impossible to obey anyone unless you understand what they really want. Can you imagine your children obeying you just by a few of your words? Sometimes they can, but if your desire for them is complicated, you will sometimes have to demonstrate to your child what you really mean. That's why experience is the best teacher, and that's why we give examples in school. Without an example, many things cannot be understood. Jesus was our example so that we might know God, and therefore, by knowing God, we would know how to obey him. But then, once we understand that it is not just the spoken word of God that reveals truth, but that it is also the inward moving of the Holy Spirit and the outward demonstration of the body of Christ, then we can also see that humans communicate in exactly the same way. Our words are important, but our words alone are insufficient to fully explain what our innermost thoughts, beliefs, and convictions are. We are also people who are made up of three parts. We all have a mind which uses words to express what our true feelings are, but in order to fully and properly communicate those feelings to others, we must also have a spirit and a body. It is our spirit which moves us to display our feelings, and then it is our body which actually expresses those feelings. In this threefold way, other people more fully understand what our innermost feelings really are. Just as with God the Father, his Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, his Son, we also communicate to others who and what we truly are by our words, our spirit, and our body. It is our spirit which moves our bodies in a manner that reflects our innermost feelings, and it is our body which outwardly demonstrates it. Our spirit seeks out our innermost thoughts, beliefs, and convictions, and moves our bodies to respond in a manner which will most accurately describe what our spirit found in the deep recesses of our heart. Now, most important for Christians, it is this threefold witness that we give that will either condemn us to an eternal hell or justify us for an eternal life with God. Our words are insufficient to bring about the whole truth of what's in our heart. Sure, our words might be true, but then words can also be false. Just because someone confesses with their lips that they believe in God is not proof that they actually do believe. I'm sure you've seen people who call themselves Christians who confess Jesus Christ with their mouth, but don't demonstrate it in their actions. In the same way, I'm sure you've seen people who seem to testify of God and who seem to live Christian lives on the outside, but their spirits reveal that their words and actions are not really true. Lots of people go to church, and lots of people claim to be Christians. But if a person truly is a Christian, they will also be recognized by the spirit that moves them. You see, sometimes people seem to be moved into doing good, such as when they perform good deeds. But then sometimes they are moved to do things that are not good at all. If you see someone who really gets excited about football or can't wait to see the next segment of their soap opera, but are not moved by the Word of God, nor moved by the worship of God, I'm pretty sure you could then also see that they are moved by the Spirit of this world and not the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit moves us, we demonstrate it outwardly by exhibiting heavenly-type behavior. When the Holy Spirit moves us, we are moved to things of righteousness. However, when the spirit that is moving us is an evil spirit, we are then moved to do and say things from a worldly point of view, and others can see that we are moved by an earthy spirit and not by the heavenly Spirit of God. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be judged by the testimony of our three witnesses. It will not be just by the testimony of our mouth, but we will also be judged by the testimony of our spirit and the testimony of our body. Our spirit will show what moves us, whether we are moved by earthly things or moved by heavenly things, and our body will give testimony as to what is in the deep inner recesses of our heart, because our actions will outwardly demonstrate our inward feelings. And what our body demonstrates will be in response to whatever spirit is within us and how it is moving us to act. Our body doesn't think for itself, but our body only responds to our inner man. However, our body, which is physical, cannot communicate directly with our heart. It is therefore our spirit which acts as the liaison between our inner man and our outward man. It is our spirit which takes what it finds there and moves our body to action. You probably know very well that people can put on a false appearance, and because of this, it won't be just by looking like a Christian that will get you into heaven. It won't be just that you talked a good talk. You won't be known as a child of God just because you said you were. You will be known to be a child of God when your words, your spirit, and your body all testify of the same thing. If your words give one testimony, but your spirit and your body give a different testimony, then your words will not be sufficient to get you into heaven. In order to get into heaven, you'll have to pass a test for all three parts of you. People who go forward at an altar call and just repeat the sinner's prayer and then never live a life outwardly to God will not go to heaven. Every person will be judged according to two or three witnesses in order to establish them as true Christians, and the witnesses will be their own witnesses, not somebody else's testimony. When you stand before Christ, you will be seen and judged from three perspectives. God will hear the testimony of your lips, and He will hear the testimony of your spirit, and He will hear the testimony of your actions. And then, after all three parts of you have been examined, God will make the final determination as to what the real truth is. The real truth will either be reward for eternal life with God, or will condemn you with an eternal life in hell. Now, if a person really is a true Christian, then the testimony of their word, the testimony of their spirit, and the testimony of their outward man will all testify of the same thing. They will all testify that Jesus Christ truly is Lord. But if a man only gives testimony with their lips, and their spirit and body give a different testimony, then they will be condemned.
We hope you are enjoying today's message. If you would like a copy of today's program, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe that God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's Word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
Now, one more point to consider. If you testify to others that you reject Jesus Christ as Lord, then you, of course, will be condemned. It's not very difficult to see this. No one who rejects Jesus Christ will go to heaven. These kind of people will be designated as belonging to Satan. And from the same logical perspective, if you testify that Jesus Christ is Lord, and your spirit also testifies that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you demonstrate these same principles in your daily life, then you will be rewarded with eternal life with God. But what about the third possibility? What if a person claims to accept Jesus Christ as Lord with their lips, but their spirit always moves them toward things of this world instead of toward heavenly things? Or what if their outward actions demonstrate evilness instead of righteousness? Yes, they may have testified about Jesus with their mouth, but the testimony of a person's mouth only produces one credible witness. In order to be rewarded with eternal life, you must also be judged to have a spirit dwelling within you which moves you toward heavenly things and not earthly things. These kind of people will be judged as being guilty before God. They won't be received into heaven based on the testimony of just their lips, but will be condemned to hell forever because their spirit and their body revealed a heart for the things of this world rather than for the things of heaven. You can't get to heaven by lying. You can only get to heaven by telling the truth. Therefore, if you have honestly told the truth with your mouth, then the spirit that moves you will be the Holy Spirit, and your body will be consistently moved by the Holy Spirit to do works which are acceptable to God. Therefore, the actions of your body will accurately reflect that the truth is in your heart instead of the lies of Satan. If your mouth confesses falsely, your other two witnesses, your spirit and your body, will testify against your mouth, and these two witnesses against you will overrule the witness of your mouth, and you will go to hell. However, if the confession of your mouth is true, then all three of your testimonies will be in accord with one another. Your spirit and your body will testify that what you claim to be with your lips was actually true, and you will go to heaven. True confessions are always backed up by the testimonies of our spirit and our body.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 155, One Testimony is Not Enough, Part 1. We also have extensive studies available on the prophecies of Revelation, including such topics as the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the rapture. As always, there is no charge for any of our material. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. If you are comfortable with computers, you may download our messages from our website. The website address is preparationministries.net. That's preparationministries, all one word, .net. However, we would be happy to send the CDs and transcripts directly to you if that would be easier. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries@gmail.com. Or you can contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.